Carl, we have a segment now that I think is going to be very interesting to you, because you have always claimed in our discussions on Smith Sabatino that you are an avid student of history.
I am.
Okay. Having established that, our next guest is a gentleman by the name of Will Butts. He was born in the cradle of American liberty in Boston. He has been an ardent student of history, like you, Carl, for most of his life. And while intending to teach that subject, he instead found success in business. He earned a business degree from Eastern Nazarene College, and he works as an accountant. He has a book. The book is called This Republic, Illuminating Republican Government. Basically, he's saying that history says we live in a republic, which isn't the same as a democracy. So Will Butts, welcome to Smith Sabatino, and let's talk about the difference between a republic and a democracy.
Thank you. Good afternoon. Thanks for having me on.
I'm glad you're here. Glad you're here. What is the difference?
The basic difference, from my research, is that a democracy is, from its real definition, is when the people all gather in one area and make laws for themselves, as opposed to a republic where the people delegate their legislative authority to a smaller group of people called a legislature, however big it may be, to make laws for themselves. And also, a republic is a government of law, where a democracy is a government of men. Those are the basic definitions.
Well, would you go back into that a little bit more, too? Because I read in a couple of chapters of your book that you were talking about the difference between anarchy, oligarchy, and aristocracy.
Correct. Basically, an anarchy is no government at all. An oligarchy or aristocracy, they're more along the lines of the same thing. One is good, one is bad. That's government by a few. And then you have monarchy, which is a government by one. And then you have a republic, which is a government of law. So you have anarchy, which is government of none, aristocracy, government of few, democracy, government by many, and republic, government of law.
I have a question. Now, this is Carl Sabatino here, Mr. Butts. In the beginning, what do you believe was the actual intent of the Founding Fathers? Was it a democracy? Was it a republic? What do you believe was the original intent, and what did we come out with?
Oh, no, they intended our country to be a republic because they were used to that at the time. All the colonies were basically republican governments. The government of England was a republican government, although it had a king. It still had a government with a legislature. They abhorred democracy in the real sense of the word. Unfortunately, democracy has come to mean a government without a king, people governing themselves. That's the modern definition. But it's not the actual true definition of a democracy, at which the Founding Fathers did not like at all.
Does it matter, really, or is this merely semantics?
It does matter, because when you say the word democracy, it doesn't really tell you anything. It just says government by the people, which is true. But it doesn't mention legislatures. It doesn't relate to anything to do with law. As I detail in my book, when you break down the word republic, it means re publica, which is basically the public thing or the law. And in a republic, laws are created by the people through their legislatures. That's why there's a big difference that the people need to be aware of, which is why one of the reasons why I wrote my book, to make that clear to the people.
Yeah, what was the genesis that brought you to write this book?
I live in Boston, as you know, and one day in 2009, I was downtown in Boston on July 4th, visiting the different sites, you know, things like that. And then I got to the idea in my head to write a book, but I had no idea what I wanted to write about. And then I happened to read John Adams' Thoughts on Government, which is also in my book. And that gave me the idea. I could probably boil down the basics of the American government and explain what a republic is and differ it from a democracy in as simple and as inexpensive a way as I possibly could, so that the people would have a quick, just very quick read and getting the basics of government.
Well, given the usurpation of freedoms that we are seeing today because of the fear-based government and fear-based society that we seem to have because of after 9/11, how does the Republican government preserve the people's liberty?
It does through law. As long as the laws are carried out, as long as the people continue to make them by electing legislators, and as long as those legislators show fealty to the Constitution and to the laws they create, then the Republic will be preserved. Unfortunately, we've seen a breakdown over the past 30 to 40 years of, you know, the presidents carrying out executive orders and judges making laws, actually legislating from the bench, which they shouldn't be doing. If we can get back to a real Republican government, if we continue to elect legislators who will put the feet to the fire of the judicial and the executive and retain their own power in checking the other powers.
I want to get back to that, a follow-up to my original question, Mr. Butts. When in the late 18th and early 19th century, when we had the question of Federalists as opposed to those who looked more for state powers, and of course, eventually, in some respects, it led to the Civil War. Where were we at that juncture vis-a-vis the Republican order of government?
Meaning in the late 1700s?
Yes.
I think they intended to, this is a little sort of a sideline from my expertise, but I think they intended to have state and federal powers be concurrent. Each section of the country would have their own powers, and the people would retain the ultimate power. Not exactly sure what you're asking, but
I'm going to use the term that there was a power play.
Oh, yeah.
And the pull and tug of the creation of a Federal Reserve was one of the focal points of the discussions with Alexander Hamilton and all of that, as we began to get a more Federalist-based government, which moved away from what some saw as the true Republican way of legislature in dealing with the rights of the people. That argument went on for a good 15, 20 years before it was eventually settled.
Yes, I see what you're saying.
Yes.
I think that pull and tug that you're speaking of was intended. I think they wanted the states and the federal government to be antagonistic against each other as the three powers, the legislative, executive, and judicial, would be against each other, and the three parts of the legislature, you know, the Senate, the President, and the House of Representatives, would be against each other. I think all those powers circling each other, always being against each other, was what would preserve the liberty. That was their plan. As far as, you know, the Bank of the United States, that came a little bit later when they were arguing, does the federal government have power to create a federal bank? But that was a deal to get Washington in Virginia, and Jefferson went along with Alexander Hamilton's financial plan. That was more political than governmental, I think.
I had a professor once say to the class that most governments start to fail after 200 years. And why has the American Republic flourished, or seemingly so, while others have failed?
I think the reason can be traced back to John Adams and his thoughts. He really looked into these things, and he studied all the republics and all the forms of government that happened before us, and he tried to determine which ones would last the longest. What kind of systems could you put in place that would allow them to not disintegrate or diminish? And we've succeeded. When you look at history, very few republics have lasted as long as we have. Some say, well, we're starting to decline, and that may be possible. Somebody may supplant us, you know, further down the line, and liberty will transfer to someplace else. But hopefully our republic will be able to be sustained as long as the people are educated and on what they need to do to maintain it.
Well, that's the key. People are educated. And unfortunately, I think to be educated, you have to participate in that education. Today, from what I see and what I'm sure Carl and I have discussed this in the past, the American people seem to have a blasé attitude toward education, at least some of the young people. And my generation, Carl's generation, and your generation was a little different.
I think so, yeah, which is one of the reasons I wrote my book. Hopefully I'll get it into the hands of a lot of young people. I'm trying to do that through your radio station, things like that, and also through homeschooling and as getting it into the hands of as many young people as possible, because these ideas haven't been introduced to them in the public schools, unfortunately.
Indeed. Quickly, your book is The Republic, Illuminating Republican Government. Got that in. Are you happy about where you see America going?
Not right now, no.
Okay.
That cuts it right to the chase.
It does.
We appreciate the candor. So we're in the same game on that one.
Will Butts, thank you for being a guest on Smith Sabatino.
Thank you very much for having me on.
Look forward to having you back again.
Thank you.
Fascinating.
Indeed.
Let's get him back. We can get further into that. But the book, This Republic, Illuminating Republican Government, I can get into that.
Uh-huh.
And he has his pulse on it, and I like it. I like it very, very much.
I do. I do, too. And it's the fact that, his explanation when I read it, we'll go into another time. But anyway, I get the book, folks, and read it.
Stay with us. We're back. Smith Sabatino.
Where are they now with Ahmad Rashad?
A member of the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame for over two decades, it's his classic about America's pastime which still has them rocking in the seats at baseball games across the country. So where is John Fogerty now? John Centerfield was honored by the Baseball Hall of Fame on its 25th anniversary, and his bat-shaped guitar is on display there. He plans to release his memoir in 2014 and will narrate the audiobook version himself. In 2012, John performed on the American Idol finale with the winner, Philip Phillips. John Fogerty, an American Idol and an American icon. I'm Ahmad Rashad.
Tired of high cable bills? Call now, 888-759-MYTV.
Welcome to American Biker Minute, name in town.
Stephen Mann, Wiley, Texas. Just bought a new bike. We'll go down to Rick Fairless's Stroker there in Dallas.
The TV show.
That is where they film the reality show. Yeah.
Stroker's Dallas, a great place to go. Today on American Biker Minute.
Do you have troubled skin or acne? With Proactive Plus, your acne can heal and you can help prevent new breakouts from happening. Call Proactive Plus now and receive a 60-day risk-free trial along with two free extras and free shipping. Call 800-393-6139. That's 1-800-393-6139.
Jeff Ryan from American Biker Minute bought a bike from Rick Fairless.
I actually bought it from Rick, and they were interviewing Rick on TV, and Kim didn't know that they were doing it, and she walked right by the camera. And Rick goes, "You didn't see that camera?" He goes, "No." He goes, "Well, it looks like you're going to be on TV, dude."
Rick lost the show.
Even though the show's canceled, he still is real active in bike runs and rallies and supporting just local bikers. Give them a place to go and a place to come cool off, place to get a beer or whatever, and it's a great place to go.
American Biker Minute.